What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
All right, I want to talk about something because somebody brings up the Lindsey Clancy trial. It seems like anytime somebody brings up the Lindsey Clancy trial, it always goes somewhere else. It starts there. Lindsey Clancy, that case. Okay, yeah, well, you know, you think that, she was... not responsible for what was going on in her mind. What about that Reiner kid? Remember Nick Reiner? Then the list comes out. Both of them mentally ill. Both families saw it coming. Both times the system was standing right there and didn't do a thing. Both cases end with bodies and defendant. Nobody's sure how they're supposed to feel about. Mental health case. That's the phrase. Three words. Mental health case. And they get stamped on both files. Must be the same, right? Now, I'll concede the true part up front because it's true. Both systems failed. Not a little. Not in some abstract policy way that shows up in a footnote 3 years later. They failed in specific rooms on specific days with specific people watching. And now you have a lot of dead people. That's where the comparison starts. It's also where it should stop. Because underneath that shared phrase, these two weren't just different. They were moving in opposite directions the entire time. One of them spent 17 years walking out of rooms full of people trying to help him. That's not my characterization. It's his, in his own interviews, years before any of this happened. The other spent a few months trying to get onto one of those programs, into one of those rooms, and couldn't get anybody to keep her there longer than a day. Lindsey Clancy was a labor and delivery nurse at Massachusetts General Hospital. She delivered babies for a living. Whatever postpartum illness looks like when it walks into a room, she'd seen more of it professionally than almost anybody you know. The last time a psychiatrist sat down with her, the appointment lasted 17 minutes. Nick Reiner is charged with 2 counts of murder and the deaths of his parents, the director Rob Reiner, and his mother, photographer, and producer Michelle Singer Reiner, at their home in Brentwood. He's pled not guilty. Authorities have never officially confirmed a motive. I'm not going to sit here and rank which one of them you should feel worse for. That's a garbage question, and it produces garbage answers. What's actually in play here, what actually matters, is which direction each of them was walking when help was on the table and who paid for it. Because help wasn't scarce in the Reiner story. Help was relentless. It came at that family year after year, and by his own account, he kept leaving it standing in the parking lot. Nobody had to go looking for it. It was already there. He told People in December of 2015 that he first went to rehab around his 15th birthday. And by his own count, he'd been through roughly 17 stays before he turned 22. The Hollywood Reporter put it at 18. He told the LA Times that same year that he'd refused to go to rehab or that he'd regularly leave the facility to go live on the street instead. And then he said the part that gets left out of every storytelling. He told people he was homeless in Maine, homeless in New Jersey, homeless in Texas. And if he wanted to do a recovery, well, he wanted to do recovery his own way, rather than the programs they were pushing at him. That being homeless was the cost. That's a man describing a decision to a reporter on the record a decade before anyone was accused of anything. Now, for everyone who thinks, oh, this is all the same, let's look at the bill for those 17 years, because somebody paid it and it wasn't him. Every bed, every intake, every flight to go get him, every court date, there's a year-long conservatorship in his history. And I want to be clear about what that actually is, because people hear that word and picture paperwork. It means a family walked into a courthouse and asked a judge to take legal control of a grown-ass adult. You don't do that over a bad year. You do that when you've run out of nearly every other option and you're frightened. And California has such a lovely system that sets it up where the second you finally do get that granted, which is rare, it fights you at every nook and cranny and turn you take to get that conservatorship removed. We've done many pieces on this already. I won't go into it right now, but it's a shit show. His father made a movie about it. Nick co-wrote it. Rob Reiner directed it. It premiered at a film festival with the two of them sitting there. Nick told NPR that making it was part of his recovery and that people who go through addictions of all kinds are kind of hard to love. So the character was there to show how ugly it gets. He knew. He said it out loud into a microphone with his father's name on the poster. That's the thing everybody gets wrong about him. In both directions, he isn't sick or selfish. He's both tangled together for 17 years with everybody around him bankrupting themselves, trying to work out which one they were dealing with on any given Tuesday. Pick one and you got a story that fits on a graphic. Hold both and you got what that family actually lived in. Then came the filing from a cell in Twin Towers. Nick Reiner filed a petition in probate court asking a judge to release the trust his parents created for him. Variety and NBC reported it at more than $1.5 million. Rolling Stone put it at 1.7. According to the petition, he wanted it to rehire attorney Alan Jackson and to buy basic support items at the jail commissary. Socks, hygiene products. The two people who set that money aside are the two people he's charged with killing. The petition includes a line I'll read exactly as written because leaving it out would be dishonest. It says, quote, Nick loved his parents and he is devastated by their deaths. That line's in the court record right alongside everything else. Now, let's walk across the country and watch somebody who was going the other way. Nobody was ever pushed at Lindsay Clancy. She went looking from a house on Summer Street in Duxbury with three kids in it. Cora was five. Dawson was three. Callan was 8 months old. Whatever she was doing to find help, she was doing it in between feedings and school runs and a baby who wouldn't sleep. Her lawsuit says she sought care at a postpartum depression program in late December of 2022. The providers there noted her symptoms might be coming from her own medication. They told her to taper off the antipsychotic. Then they discharged her after one day. One day, she checked herself into a psychiatric hospital on New Year's Eve, stayed a few days, and went back to her psychiatrist after that because it took days for a doctor to see her. Her attorney, Kevin Reddington, has said she'd been prescribed up to 12 different medications after the birth of her third child, and he's called that level of medication horrific. Part of why nobody caught it is how rare this thing is. Experts covering her trial put postpartum psychosis at roughly 1 to 2 women out of every 1,000 who give birth. Most people will never knowingly meet someone who had it, which means most clinicians aren't looking for it. Most families have no idea what they're watching, and the woman in the middle of it has no framework for what's happening to her. And she was a professional. She had the vocabulary. She knew which building to walk into. She knew what words to use when she got there. She knew what the intake questions were going to be because she'd been on the other side of them. She did everything a person is supposed to do, and the system took one look and handed her back her car keys. Her husband, Patrick, testified that nobody ever told him not to leave the children with her. Consider what that means procedurally. She'd just been in a psychiatric hospital. She was on a stack of meds. And the man living in that house with her and the three kids under six was never handed a single instruction about any of it. You know, you're good. She's good. There's a part of this that never gets said next to the Reiner story. Lindsay Clancy and Patrick Clancy both filed lawsuits accusing her medical providers of failing to properly diagnose and treat her condition. There are name parties. There are clinicians who signed a discharge on a specific afternoon and a prescriber who built that medication list and a program that looked at a woman describing what she was describing and decided one day was enough. That's not a system failing in the abstract. That's a set of decisions with signatures. One man had help brought to him for 17 years and walked out of it. One woman went and got it herself and was out the door in 24 hours. Those aren't the same failure. They're not even the same kind of failure. And there's a piece of the Reiner story almost nobody has picked up, which is what the state did when it was finished with him. The conservatorship expired in 2021. Nobody revoked it. Nobody litigated it. There was no hearing where a judge weighed evidence and decided he'd recovered. It just runs out. That's how it works in California. The way a registration runs out when nobody checks the date. And when it lapsed, the state effectively handed a 32-year-old man, whose records reportedly include a schizophrenia diagnosis, back to the only two people still holding him. Two people in their 70s. 4 years later, they were dead in that Brentwood house, and he was in custody by 9:15 that night. Court filings say siblings Jake and Romy Reiner had initially agreed to pay Alan Jackson's fees and then reversed. ABC News reports it isn't publicly known why. I'm not going to guess at their reasons. Well, I might. Because their brother's a fucking piece of shit. But the fact stands on its own. The family that had carried this for 17 years decided enough was enough. The trustee's position complicates all of it. According to Variety, trustee Paul Kanin has been unwilling to release the money over what were described as unresolved concerns about Reiner's capacity to make sound decisions and adequately protect his own interests. A new trustee, Jody Montgomery, has since been appointed. So the man holding the checkbook is saying the same thing the conservatorship said, that he can't be trusted to manage himself. He can't hold up a filing as proof of what he takes from people and then ignore that the person controlling the money says he isn't competent to be asking. Which brings me back to the people making the comparison and why it survives. Illinois is the only state in this country that passed a law giving special consideration to mothers with postpartum mental illness who kill their children. The 2018 statute doesn't create a charge and it doesn't create a defense. It lets a judge treat postpartum depression or psychosis as a mitigating factor at sentencing. After a guilty finding, it lets women already serving time petition for resentencing if nobody weighed those conditions the first time. There's a bill in front of the Massachusetts legislature that would do something similar. One state. That's the entire national response to this. And nobody has written a single line or law for a man in his 30s with a long addiction history and a psychotic disorder, because that man isn't a category anybody has decided to legislate for. He's a headline for a week and a problem for his family for two decades. Filing both of these under the same three words is exactly how that stays true. If they're one problem, they get one conversation. One conversation produces one law, and one law only ever fits one of them. Let's go back to the 17 minutes. That was the length of Lindsay Clancy's last appointment with her psychiatrist. On January 23rd, 23, according to her lawsuit, 17 minutes isn't an evaluation. It's barely a check-in. It's enough time to confirm a name, ask how medication's going, and write the next prescription. It's a cattle call. The following day is when her lawyers say she heard a voice telling her this was her last chance. 17 minutes. On one coast, on the other, a court ordered that lapsed in 2021 because nobody was watching a calendar. Fix the first one and the second one still happens. Fix the second one and the first one still happens. There's no single reform, no single hearing, no single piece of legislation that really touches both because they aren't one problem with two faces. They're two problems that got handed the same three words: mental health problem. And they're not the same thing. Not one of these five people died of a diagnosis. Every one of those deaths sits at the end of a chain of ordinary decisions made by people who have names in buildings that have addresses on days that are written down somewhere in a file. Those people can be found. They can be asked what they were looking at and what they decided and why they decided it. Talking about these two cases as one story, as if they're equal, is how every last one of them stays anonymous. These are not the same story. I can't think of another Lindsay Clancy type story, quite honestly, that goes to the depths and the degrees that this one does. There are others out there, certainly, that are far more similar than Reiner. But anytime we're talking about mental health stories, it is not one size fits all. And understanding that, understanding this case, requires the homework, requires the understanding, if you're going to have an honest, educated opinion about it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. place FinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.